vision, and I thought, I knew he was coming today, and I thought, I should ask him to share it, and I didn't. And I tell you what you have said is just perfect for what I'm going to bring today. So praise God, praise God. Because my message today is on effective, fervent prayer. It is. Can you believe it? God is so amazing. Absolutely. Effective, fervent prayer. So we do have a slide when you're ready. I'm not up to it yet anyway. Now, I just want to build in something here. Electricity. Think about electricity. Turns our lights on, our fans going today. All of our technology is powered by electricity. And it's conveyed through wires, and it's conveyed so that we can enjoy the privileges of lights, fans, air conditioning, fridges, all those things that we use on a day-to-day basis. Can you imagine a life without electricity? I can't, because we need power. What would I do without my coffee machine? Things like that. Right. Yes, I know. No, couldn't have instant, because I couldn't boil the jug if I didn't have power. Anyway. However, the power that electricity provides needs a point of contact, right? We have to flick the switch to turn it on, to turn on the lights or turn on the PowerPoint for whatever it is that you want to work. And it's the same with God. There must be a point of contact between you and God or me and God in order to experience his power and his supernatural provision. There must be a point of contact. You see, God has provided, this is a statement here, God has provided what his will has decreed. But without a point of contact, we don't get to experience what that provision is. And the point of contact between your need and God's provision is prayer. Now, the word decreed means this. Decrees cause the truths from the word and the heavenly realm to be manifested in our earthly realm. So bringing it from heaven to earth, okay? And prayer is the one thing that God established to make contact with what already he has decreed, his word. So you could say we're bringing heaven to earth. Where there is no power, there is no contact. Where there is no contact, you do not get what God has declared for us to have, known as his will. And today we're going to look at Elijah. And we can learn from this story about Elijah, and he was a point of contact and how God used him in that. And the story is a great example that we also can experience the supernatural ability to bring the will of God into life. All through the Bible, we see the word prayer, and in some shape or fashion, it's there all the way through. And when men make contact with God, God acts. We have to activate his will, activate his power. So prayer is the mechanism that grabs something out of the invisible realm so that you can see it work in the physical realm. And again, like bringing heaven and the supernatural to earth, to our natural, to our physical. So God has decreed for every Christian the sum of your life, what he will do and what he won't do, where he plans to do it and when he plans to do it. But it's a condition and it's prayer. So I'm just setting this up for a bit. So let's have a look at Elijah. I'll just give you an intro because I don't want to read all the chapters here. Elijah was the first in a long line of prophets that God had sent to Israel and Judah. They had no faithful kings throughout its history, none. Each king was wicked, and actually they led the people into worshipping pagan gods. With no kings or priests to bring God's word to the people, God called the prophets to try and rescue Israel from its moral and spiritual decline. Those who worshipped Baal believed that he was the God that brought the rain and the bountiful harvest. So when Elijah walked into the presence of this Baal-worshipping king Ahab and told him that there would be no rain for several years, Ahab was shocked. Ahab had even built a strong military defence, but this would be no help against a drought. There was also many priests, but they couldn't bring the rain either. And Elijah bravely confronted the men who led the people into evil. He told them of a power far greater than any pagan god. And he told them that the Lord, the God of Israel, is their God. But rebellion and heresy were at an all-time high in Israel. And God responded not only with words, with actions. So that's just a little bit of a intro there. So let's have a look at 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 1. It says, now Elijah, who was from the Tishbe in Gilead, told King Ahab, as surely as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, the God I serve, there will be no dew or rain during the next few years until I give the word. So he's making a statement to Ahab here that the heavens are going to dry up. Okay? And after Elijah delivered this message to King Ahab, the Lord then told him to leave town, because Ahab was not happy with him. He had to leave town, and he told him to go and hide by a brook so that he would have water to drink, because there was going to be no rain. God even provided food for him by sending ravens in the morning with bread and at night with bread and meat. So God provided for him while he had to go into hiding. But the brook eventually dried up, and now there was a drought in the land. But God still provided for Elijah. God instructed him then to go to a place called Zarephath, where he told him that a widow would now provide for him. God always provides, and sometimes in the most unusual ways. While he was there, this woman and her son were so blessed, as God had told them to provide for Elijah. And then her son became sick. He became very ill and he actually died. And Elijah prayed for her son and bringing him back to life. Now, Elijah prayed 3 times because this boy didn't respond, so he continued to pray. And this was such a testimony to this woman. So everywhere that God was providing, he was also doing miracles, and people were realizing that, wow, this God that you serve is truly the God of Israel. 3.5 years pass, and in the next chapter in Kings 18, verse 1, we read this. Later on in the 3rd year of the drought, the Lord said to Elijah, go and present yourself to King Ahab and tell him that I will send rain soon. So Elijah went to appear before Ahab. Now let me explain, go back a bit, about the rain, the reason the rain was stopped. Okay, so in Deuteronomy chapter 11, this is why the rain was stopped. If you carefully obey the commands I'm giving you today, and if you love the Lord your God and serve him with all your heart and soul, then he will send the rains in their proper seasons, the early and late rains, so you can bring in your harvest of grain, new wine and olive oil. He will give you lush pasture land for your livestock, and you yourselves will have all you want to eat. But be careful, here's the warning, don't let your heart be deceived so that you turn away from the Lord and serve and worship other gods. If you do, the Lord's anger will burn against you, and he will shut up the sky and hold back the rain, and the ground will fail to produce its harvest. Then you will quickly die in that good land the Lord is giving you. So here's the warning. God's saying, if you choose other gods, I'm going to close down heaven, shut it so it won't rain. And I'm no longer going to bless your crops or your planting or your fruit bearing, and the sky is going to dry up if you serve and go after other gods. But he says, if you turn away from other gods, then I'm going to open up heaven, and I again will let the rain fall. So the whole reason that Elijah is praying here is based on something that God had said in his word years earlier to Moses. So Elijah reaches back to what God has already said, and by the leading of God, he applies it many years later to the situation that we find this in. So prayer was tied to God's word, this prayer. You see, you need to know God's word and how to pray, because God's word must be the basis and the foundation of your request. So now, having prayed biblically, we're going to see what James says about it. So we're going to the New Testament in James chapter 5, verse 16 to 18. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Wow, I love that. Elijah was just a man, just like us. So the change with the rain only came when the idolatry was addressed. Okay, as long as there was idolatry and they were worshipping other gods, there would be no rain. And many people want God to send rain called blessings in their life without wanting to change their lives and change what they're doing. They want God to do something for them while they remained idolaters. And idolatry, I've got this here, is an unauthorized noun, person, place or thing that you look to meet your needs. Any unauthorized thing, it can be a person, an idol, can be a place, stuff or money or possessions. An idol could be your job, your career or your position. And you can be looking to that to be your source. That's an idol. You see, we can have all those things and not worship them and then don't become idols. Because God gives us things, he blesses us. But when we look to that, for that thing to be our source, it becomes an idol. And these people were Baal worshippers. And they were worshipping Baal. They believed Baal was the god that was going to bring the rain. So what happens is that God has people that worshipped him on Sundays and then look to idols all week to meet their needs. Now, God had already, as I said, he had decreed this in his word, but it needed a point of contact before it would be delivered. So even though God decreed that the rain start and then stop, he didn't let it rain until Elijah made it a prayer matter. And we know that Elijah prayed because James tells us that he prayed effectual, fervent prayers that availed much. He prayed fervently. And James is writing to the New Testament Christians, that's you and me. He's reminding us to be effective, to pray fervently. But he uses an Old Testament saint to explain how to get heaven to deliver rain, how to get heaven to open up and deliver the will of God. And this, of course, varies from person to person and on its application. So if you and I understand effectual fervent prayer as illustrated by James in the life of Elijah, then we as a church, we personally can have this as well. We can do this. We can affect things just like Elijah did. James says that Elijah was just like us, just a man, wasn't a superhero, anything special, he was just a man. Even though he was a prophet in the Old Testament, he was flesh and blood, just like us. Maybe some people here today are looking for a miracle. A lot of us have got things in our lives that aren't done yet. Answered prayers, not answered yet. And we can look to that miracle. We can learn to open heaven and to shut heaven that will bring the supernatural in now based on the will of God, based on his word. It's tied to his word. And then we must pray effectual prayers. Now, the Bible says that Ahab had searched in every nation to find Elijah. He searched from end to end of the nation, because he wasn't happy with him at all, because he dried up the rain. And their God obviously wasn't coming up with the goods. Baal was not producing the rain. And in that time, in that whole chapter of 18, there's a war going on between the Baal worshippers saying, we're praying and we're believing, and they were doing the rain dance, and Baal never come through. And on the other hand, Elijah said, God, please show these people, show them that you're God. And God sent down fire. And they went, oh my gosh, this is the God of Israel. And so the people had now began to turn from their idols back to God. And look what happens next in verse 41 of 1 Kings 18. Elijah then said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain. Elijah said he heard the storm coming. He heard the rain coming. But in the verses that follow, there is no storm yet. In fact, the sky is still clear. It's still hot, not even a cloud. Nobody heard this but Elijah. And Elijah had to tell Ahab that I've heard it, because he didn't hear anything. You see, our proximity to God, our closeness to God, we can hear things. We can know things that others can't. So the closer our proximity is to God, the more we're going to know, the more we're going to hear God and hear the heart of God. But Ahab didn't hear anything because he didn't have that heart. And one of our problems is we want to hear from God, but yet keep our distance from God. But Elijah was close enough to God that he heard the sound. He heard something others couldn't hear, because his proximity to God was close. He was a righteous man and he lived to please the Lord. That's our number one thing. But it goes deeper. In verse 42 it says, so Ahab went to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees. Elijah goes to separate himself up Mount Carmel. He doesn't go with Ahab. He went to find a place without distraction and to get with God, because he was getting ready to ask something so big that he needed an undistracted environment for his chat with God. He separated himself and he went to a place to get close to God. And the word says that he bent down on the ground and he put his face between his knees. Now, this is interesting, because this position was a position that women got in when they were delivering a baby. Okay, that was the position. And it was like Elijah was about to give birth to a miracle. He was getting in a position for something supernatural to be birthed. What do we do when we need God to answer us with a supernatural miracle? Something just not ordinary but extraordinary. What position do we get ourselves into? But Elijah knew that he needed the miracle of heaven to open up, and so he got into a position and he labored. And this word labor is the biblical word for travail. And travail is up there as well. It's used figuratively to express, I've got a screen, to express extreme and painful sorrow. To be in labor for something, to birth something that God puts on our heart. Something out of the ordinary, but it needs a point of contact. He got himself into a position, and it was almost like God put a seed, like something in him that he had to labour to get out, to labour to pray for. And God requires us to be that point of contact, a people who are willing to get into close proximity with him, to be in his word and to get in position, whatever that position is for you, whether it's on your knees, or on your face, or however you do that. so that we can hear the storms coming and pray accordingly, to pray effectively, fervent prayers to bring heaven to earth. And then Elijah says to his servant in verse 43, he says to his servant, "Go up now and look toward the sea." So he went up and looked and said, "There's nothing." And seven times he said, "Go again." He prayed and nothing happened. Anyone know that feeling? He went up and he looked for an answer, but there was no answer at that point. There was nothing. And Elijah said, "Just go back." And seven times he said, "Go back." And we know that seven is a biblical number for completion. Elijah was so confident of what he'd heard. Have you ever been there when you know God's spoken to you? He hasn't spoken to anyone else. He's told you something and you know that you know that you know that he's spoken to you. And maybe you can see it. I've had that where I can see things, but there's no point telling everyone because no one else has seen it or heard it. And it's amazing that God, if you're close enough to him, will speak to you, will show you, give you a glimpse of something that you're praying for. But we have to sometimes labor it. He was so confident that he'd heard this rain coming. He knew it was close too. And so when the written word lines up with what's telling you in your spirit and you go into labor, nothing's happening. You keep going until you see that thing happen. Paul said for 6 months he'd had that thought about the heart of Australia. These aren't overnight things. They're going to take labor. They're going to take us keeping close with God. So we labor until God answers. So tie it to his word. Tie it to our spirit. Go into labor and pray for these things and don't quit just because you don't hear something straight away. That's our problem. We want it now or by next week. Sometimes people have prayed for 20 years for their partner to be saved or whatever, or our children. Never give up, because answers are coming in due season. So look at this, verse 44. He comes back after the seventh time and he says, "Then it came to pass the seventh time that he said, 'There's a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea.'" So he said, he was so confident, he said, "Go up to Ahab, tell him, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you." That's how confident he was. And there's a cloud only this big. He said, "Well, it's just this big. It's only this big." But he prayed expectantly. So if you're going to pray for something, expect it to happen. I get amazed at you pray something little and God answers it. And I get, "Oh, I can't believe God did that." And then I think, of course I can. Expect it. If we're asking, he prayed expectantly because he expected to see something. And what he saw wasn't much, but it was enough to know, yep, God's given me a glimpse of this cloud. Rain's coming. I can feel it. I can hear it. And sometimes God just gives you that little glimpse, right? And that's when the enemy wants to come in and tell you you're silly. But no, don't let that happen. Keep laboring. Keep praying. Keep being encouraged, you're on the right track. And I love these last two verses. It says, "Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. So Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. Then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins, and he ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Notice Ahab's in a chariot. He's the king. He's got good horses leading his chariot and he's off. But it says Elijah girded up his loins, pulled up his robes, I think, tucked him into his belt and he ran. And he's an old boy. He ran 15 miles and he outrun the chariots with the horses. And it made me think of this scripture. Isaiah 40, verse 31. "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. The hand of the Lord was on Elijah. You see, when God comes through for you, even though you may have had to wait for it, God can take you and give you strength for whatever he brings your way. Just like when a woman gives birth to a baby, it's labor intensive, but when it's over, there's nothing that compares with this new birth. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. So don't be afraid of growing weary of laboring. It will bring great joy. It will bring great joy. And remember that God's timing is always perfect. And there is so much that we should be on our knees for right now. Not only for our own situations, which we've all got, but our nation. The heart of our nation and the nations. And especially when these deceptive laws that the government are bringing in sneakily and pushing through, it's just evil. And if we don't fight for our rights, these laws will go through. And they will not only affect us in the church, but it's God's word. How must he feel? God's word is everything. And no one, and they don't care and they don't believe it. But it's up to us. So in closing, faith is the step between promise and assurance. Miracles may seem so far out of our reach for our feeble faith, but every miracle, large or small, begins with an act of obedience. And it wasn't until Israel got rid of their idols, which took 3.5 years, before he told Elijah to pray. See, he'll tell you when. He'll tell you when. You'll know. If you're in close proximity, you'll know. You'll just know. And we may not see the solution until we take our first step of faith. Even when God has done a miracle in our lives, our troubles may not be over, but God's provision is never given in order for us to just rest upon. We need to depend on him as we face each new trial. And Elijah's single-minded commitment to God might shock us and challenge us. He was sent to confront, not to comfort. He was sent to confront the nation and the king. And Elijah spoke God's words to the king, who had always rejected him. But Elijah chose to carry out his ministry for God alone, and he paid for that decision by experiencing isolation for a long time. And it's interesting to think about the amazing miracles that God accomplished through his journey of that time. But we would do well to focus on this, the relationship that they had, the relationship that they shared. And all that happened in Elijah's life, and it began with the same miracle that is available to us. And he responded with the miracle of being able to know God. Being able to know God. My goodness, as I was looking at that, it spoke to me. You know, we're praying for a church to be filled, with seats to be filled. Man, I need to be on my knees. I need to get that more. I haven't, but I'm going to, because we can bring things from heaven to earth. We can bring things according to his will, and praying the scripture, we can. And I'm saying, as a church, can we join together? Can we be on our knees for our nation? And when our nation is prayed for, God will bring it into our communities and our churches. When we put God first, all the things of the rest of the family, it's all going to come into line if we would pray what God puts on our heart and line it up with the Word of God and get close, in close proximity to him, we will see miracles happen. Amen.